Hello, thank you for listening to this sermon from our Revive service. We hope it helps you learn more about God and allow you to grow closer to Him and in your faith.
So Pastor Aaron is still gone with Mike Conley. They are still working out in Romania and things are going well. I haven't heard a ton, so that's a good thing, I would say. No news is good news sometimes. So we're very thankful that they're able to have that time away. Very thankful for Jimmy preaching last week and doing an amazing job bringing God's word and what that portion of Ezekiel chapter 2, 1 through 11, what it talked about. I'm going to finish the chapter off today, so it's Ezekiel chapter 2, 12 through 26. And what we're going from is that transition of that lifelong pleasure that Solomon had, all those things that he was able to accomplish and attempted to fulfill himself, and now we're transitioning into the end of that section. So the end of Jimmy's chapter or portion kind of leads into what we're going into today. So what it means to toil, what it means to use your hands to actually do something. Is it worth doing these things, or is it just vanity? It's that constant question that he is asking all the time. Or when I find success, is it fulfilling? What is the purpose of that success? There's a lot to consider, and we'll get into that. But as always, would you please stand again? You guys are just up and down today. As we read God's word together, if you are able to stand, that would be great. And we'll read verses 12 through 26. It says, "So I turned to consider wisdom and madness and folly. For what can the man do who comes after the king? Only what has already been done. Then I saw that there is more gain in wisdom than in folly, as there is more gain in light than in darkness. The wise person has his eyes in his head, but the fool walks around in darkness," or walks in darkness. "And yet I perceived that the same event happens to them all. Then I said in my heart, what happens to the fool will happen to me also. Why then have I been so very wise? And I said in my heart that this is also vanity. For of the wise as of the fool there is no enduring remembrance, seeing that in those days to come all will have been long forgotten. How the wise dies just like the fool. So I hated life, because what is done under the sun was grievous to me, for all is vanity and striving after wind. I hated all my toil in which I toil under the sun, seeing that I must leave it to the man who will come after me. And who knows whether he will be wise or a fool? Yet he will be a master of all for which I toiled and used my wisdom under the sun. This is also vanity. So I turned about and gave my heart up to despair over all the toil of my labors under the sun. Because sometimes the person who has toiled with wisdom and knowledge and skill must leave everything to be enjoyed by someone who did not toil for it. This is also vanity and a great evil. What has a man from all the toil and striving of the heart with which he toils beneath the sun? For all his days are full of sorrow, and his work is a vexation. Even in the night his heart does not rest. This is also vanity. There is nothing better for a person than that he should eat or drink and find enjoyment in his toil. This also I saw is from the hand of God. For apart from him, who can eat or who can have enjoyment? For to the one who pleases him, God has given wisdom and knowledge and joy. But to the sinner, he has given the business of gathering and collecting, only to give to one who pleases God. This is also vanity and striving after wind. Lord, we ask you for your blessing again on this time. Lord, I just pray as we dig through these scriptures that it would be your word and not mine. I thank you for the time to prepare for this. But again, Lord, this is you. And so I just pray as we go through this, you would speak to us through your word. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You can have a seat. So again, Jimmy's section ended with Solomon becoming great and surpassing all. And then he considered his hands. He considered all that toiling, that working. And this whole section is focused on that and the fact that death is inevitable. Woohoo, more fun stuff to talk about. And so we start off with, my first point is wisdom in light of death. wisdom in light of death. And verse 12, again, I'm going to go through verse by verse, kind of like Jimmy did, and point off sections at a time. It says, "So I turned to consider wisdom and madness and folly, for what can the man do who comes after the king? Only what has already been done." And so we have Solomon here spent the whole previous section focused on life and reflecting on the pleasures of life, and now he is viewing it at a different angle from the perspective of death. You know, he has all these toils. What good is all of this? Because eventually, I'm going to die. So in all this success, there is still an emptiness in him as he is writing these words. He's turned from pleasure to consider wisdom and madness and folly. He's turned from pleasure to those things, to consider wisdom, madness, and folly. He has made use of wisdom previously, but now wisdom is the subject of the matter that he is considering. Wisdom is going to be the main focus for a little as we start off in this section. He is basically saying, if even a king who has everything cannot find meaning in life, who can? To him, the king is the greatest thing. In that time of the world, that part of the world, the king has the most, has everything. And if he cannot find meaning, then who can? And so because of this, because Solomon feels he is king, as king, he is equipped to investigate. He wants to look further into wisdom in verses 13 through 17. But we'll read 13 and 14 first. He says, "Then I saw that there is more gain in wisdom than in folly, as there is more gain in light than in darkness. The wise person has his eyes in his head, but the fool walks in darkness. And yet I perceive that the same event happens to all of them." Solomon's basically saying here, yes, both will eventually die. We all know that. But wisdom is still better than folly. It is better to walk in the light than it is darkness. I did like this one quote as I was reading through things from Warren Wiersbe. He said, "The wise man sees that death is coming and lives accordingly, while the fool walks in darkness and is caught unprepared." How are you walking around? There are, of course, many verses about being wise over being a fool in Proverbs. You'll find them all over the place. And we should always be seeking wisdom over folly. So where do we find that wisdom? Well, we find that wisdom in God. We find it in his word. We find that wisdom in biblical counsel. And so I have a few verses that I want to say to you as we go through that. Finding wisdom in God's word. Proverbs 3:7 says, "Be not wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil." Proverbs 9:9, "Give instruction to a wise man. He will be still wiser. Teaching a righteous man and he will increase in learning." A righteous man, one who is right with God. Proverbs 10:8, "The wise of heart will receive commandments, but a babbling fool will come to ruin." So when he talks about commandments there, it's not necessarily the Ten Commandments. He's talking about teachings. So the wise of heart will receive teachings, but a babbling fool will come to ruin. Then we get into biblical counsel. So it's one of the things I mentioned. Who do you have around you? We talk about this so much in youth group. Who do you put around you that has biblical counsel for you, whether it's someone older, someone the same age as you, who is around you? Proverbs 8:33 says, "Hear instruction and be wise, and do not neglect it." You may not always hear something that you want to hear. That's okay, but don't neglect it. Take it, go to God, and see what that person has to say for you. There's been plenty of times I've been approached about stuff in a loving and kind way, and I love it because I don't want to be doing something that is against God. I don't mind being corrected. Nobody likes it overall, obviously, but it's okay to be corrected. Proverbs 12:15, "The way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but a wise man listens to advice." Again, the same thing. Proverbs 13:20, "Whoever walks with the wise becomes wise, but the companion of fools will suffer harm." Put those around you who are biblical counsel, those who love the Lord. I think it's cool to point out in the ESV translation, There were 60 references about the word wise alone in Proverbs. Another 46 for wisdom. That is just Proverbs. And I think that points out how big of a topic this is, to be in the Lord, to be wise in the Lord. God's word has a lot to say about what a wise person does. It is always better to choose the wise way over the foolish way, although it's not always exciting to us at times, but choose the wise way. The issue with Solomon, though, is that being wise, he was wise, he asked for wisdom from God, and he was prepared for death. It does not relieve his burden about life. And that leads us into the next section. It leads him to the question of why he chose wisdom. And I would argue a little bit, he was not always wise. He was not perfect, as we see his choices in his life. But it gets to the point again, and leads to the next verses, that both the wise and the fool come to the same ending, which is death. Both the wise and the fool come to the same ending, which is death. Verse 15 says, "Then I said in my heart, what happens to the fool will happen to me also. Why then have they been so very wise? And I said in my heart that this is also vanity." So again, that idea that of smoke in the wind that Pastor Aaron talked about and had that example up here, trying to catch that smoke. What's the point? Yeah. Solomon is so determined that wisdom is like smoke that he moves on to another point. And he says in verse 16, "For the wise of the fool, there is no for of the wise as of the fool, there is no enduring remembrance, seeing that in the days to come, all will have been long forgotten." How the wise dies just like the fool. So not only do both the wise and the fool die, but they're not even remembered. And it's interesting he says this because Solomon is definitely remembered. He didn't know that was going to happen, but he is remembered because of God in God's scripture. So my one question for you, out of many today, is your purpose in life to be remembered or to glorify God? Is your purpose in life to be remembered or to glorify God? Many people want to leave a legacy. Is that the same thing? There's a song, I just want to leave a legacy. I don't remember what it is, but out there. And I know what the writer is saying in that. The Hebrew word here, though, for remembrance means memento, record, memorial. And so while it's nice to be remembered, our purpose shouldn't be to be remembered here on earth. Our purpose should be God's purpose. Our purpose should be to live and to serve him for his glory. We obviously want to pass down knowledge, wisdom of God, his teachings, Christ's teachings to our children and to those who are younger. That's why we have classes. That's why we should want to do that in our families. There's nothing wrong with that. However, I want to live for Christ and follow his will and purpose ultimately, to bring him glory by what I think, say, and do. So I took the little children's thing that sin is anything that you think, say, or do that goes against God. Well, I want to do the opposite. I want to give him glory by what I think, say, and do. I want those who come after me, my children, to want that purpose as well. That is what I want. So if I get remembered, great. Hopefully it's for a good thing. If not, oh well, I don't care. Either way, whether I'm remembered here or not, I'm still going to be in heaven, not because of what I've done, but because of what Christ has done. Not because of what I've toiled for or accomplished, but because of what Christ accomplished on the cross. In the end, that is what matters most. Romans 8:28, talking about purpose, says, "And we know that for those who love God and all things work together for good, for those who are called according to his purpose." I want to be in God's will. My hope and prayer is that you want to be in God's will, to follow his purpose. Proverbs 19:21, "Many are the plans in the mind of the man." We've got all these plans, all these thoughts, all these things we want to do, which is great, but it is the purpose of the Lord that will stand. The thing that will matter the most in the end, the thing that will continue on, is God's purpose. I want to be a part of that. Do you want to be a part of that? That's what we should be working towards. So remembrance. Solomon says, neither will be remembered. And because of all this, he says this next. He says, neither the wise or the fool are going to be remembered. So then he goes into 17, another negative comment from him. So he says, so I hated life, because what is done under the sun was grievous to me, for all is vanity and striving after the wind. So here we have that phrase again, striving after the wind. And I was going to do something up here to make an example of that, but I didn't want that to be the focus today. I was going to have a huge fan up here. And Pastor Aaron was like, yeah, you should do that. Get the huge fan out. I mean, you know Pastor Aaron. And I was going to have some kids come up and spray water into it as the fan is coming at them. There's other translations that I think put this well into our terms these days. I mean, we know what striving after the wind is, trying to get after it. It's shepherding the wind is mostly what it says for the original. But the newer translations, to try to put in our terms, say it's like spitting into the wind. And so I was going to make that one example, like, hey, kids, you ever spit into the wind? It doesn't work out well for you. So you just spray the water bottle and it comes right back at your face. So I didn't want that to be the only thing you came out remembering today, was the huge fan. So I didn't do that, but that's what I was going to do. But then he gets into that strong, strong statement, I hated life. So commentators agree this is not a threatening statement. He doesn't want to die, but he knows it will come one day when God deems it his time. While life seems like smoke to him, it seems futile to Solomon. It was still better than death to him. Another commentator paraphrased this statement as, therefore, I was disgusted with life. And while there are other men in the Bible who were disgusted with life, they are the exceptions and eventually turned around. We have Job, Moses, Elijah, Jonah. At one point, they all complained about life and not wanting to be around, but eventually turned around as they seeked God out. We are not the giver and taker of life, and we should love the life God has provided. 1 Peter 3:10, which is taken from Psalm 34:12, says, for whoever desires to love life and see good days, let him keep his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit. We should desire to love life, desire to live for the glory of God, desire to love and appreciate what God has given us, not to take it away. Life is not always enjoyable. However, this is a great quote again from Wiersbe. We live by promises and not by explanations. And we know that our labor is not in vain in the Lord. We don't always have it easy. A lot of times it's hard. Emily and I have been through a lot of hard times in the past, but we've got to love and enjoy who God is and continue to trust in him, his promises, and have that hope of the future, that hope of eternity. And so what I want to do is remember that. I'm kind of mixing it up today a little bit, and we're going to do communion in the middle of the sermon here. We're going to do communion now. Because it does fit into this as well, and I'll get into some verses. Everything Old Testament points to Christ. Everything after points to Christ. Christ is the middle, the center of it all, the purpose of it all, and what he did on the cross for us. So we want to have that remembrance time now. I want to pause in here and remember that we do have that promise, that hope, that communion is a time for us to come and remember that Christ died on the cross for our sin, was buried, and rose again 3 days later. If you don't believe that, if you don't know Christ as your Savior, I would just suggest that you let it pass on by. If there's something that you're holding on to that is a sin and you're not willing to let it go and you're still struggling with it and you haven't given it to God, I would ask you, let this go on by. This is a time for believers to come and remember together what Christ has done. To those of us who know Christ as Savior and believe on that he died on the cross for our sins and rose again 3 days later, we have that hope of eternal life with Christ in heaven. See, Solomon was constantly searching. He was wise, and yet he was He scrutinized wisdom in the same way we search. The world offers other answers, other solutions, wisdom, and they are in vain. When it's not in Christ, when it's not in God, it's in vain. So praise the Lord that we have the hope of Christ, who is a demonstration of the wisdom of God. We've already talked about light and darkness today. 2 Corinthians 4:6 says, "For God, who said, 'Let light shine out of darkness,' has shown in our hearts to give the light of knowledge and of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ." It's in the face of Jesus Christ. God gives us the way to have hope, and he reveals it to us. He provides the way, and then he has revealed it to us through his word and his spirit. Ephesians 1:17. This is a verse I've read, but it really didn't point out this way to me before, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and the revelation in the knowledge of him. We've talked about wisdom already. Solomon's wisdom, as he often talks about, is under the sun. It's wisdom that he investigated. It means nothing to him because it's in the end, death still comes. On the other hand, we have Christ, who is the wisdom of God, a wisdom that provides hope. 1 Corinthians 1:24, and then also 1 Corinthians 30 says, "But to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God, and the wisdom of God." You hear that? Christ, the power of God, and the wisdom of God. He's the wisdom of God. Verse 30 in Corinthians 12, "And because of him, you are in Christ Jesus, who became to us wisdom from God, righteousness and sanctification and redemption." God provided a way through Christ, a way to redeem us even though we don't deserve it. He became to us wisdom from God. And so I praise the Lord that we can come together and celebrate communion. We remember that Christ, the wisdom of God, died for us on the cross for our sins. This wisdom is knowing that there's a hope and an eternity, and we remember now what that cost is, what that sacrifice is. And then that gets me into 1 Corinthians 11, where we often go, where Paul is talking to the Corinthians about how to follow through with communion and do it the correct way and to focus on God and not worry about all the food and to make sure that your hearts are right with God. And so I'm going to give us a chance to do that. But at first, I'm going to have Logan, if anybody did not grab a cup, please raise your hand and he will come around and give you one. So again, 1 Corinthians 11, Paul is talking about this as he directs them on how to participate in communion with the right heart. And so I want to give us a moment as Logan is going around, and I want to allow you to have time to go to God first. I'll close us in prayer, but you go to God on your own and just talk to him. Oftentimes, when I go during this time, I'll even pray to God. There's things specific that I need to cover sometimes with him. And then there's things like, God, there may have been something I didn't do, but please, or that I don't remember doing, but please forgive me. So there's a time to just go to him and talk to him. So let's go ahead and go to the Lord in prayer, and then I'll close us. Lord, we thank you for this time to remember what your son did for us. Lord, it's a sacrifice that we don't deserve, yet you still chose to do it. And so we just come to you giving thanks and praise to you for that. Lord, I pray that you would continue to bless us during this time. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So it says in 1 Corinthians 11, verse 23, "For I received from the Lord what I delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed," I just opened the wrong side. That's all right. There we go. For I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it, and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, he also took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is a new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." And then he finishes with, "For as often as you drink this bread, as eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." And so we want to continue to do that. We want to proclaim what Christ has done for us until he returns. So again, as we move forward, we thank Christ for that. We thank God for that and what was done. And it helps us to move on then, again, remembering that we have that hope. And Solomon may not fully see it. He knows this, what's to come. He knows there's a Messiah coming. But he's talking about all these things, and he's not thinking of the hope that is necessarily to come. He does have a change of tune later on, and we'll see that. But first we had wisdom in light of death, and now we have wealth and toil in light of death. And so this gets into more, where Solomon's focus is now on what comes from his toil, his work. It's on the wealth he has made and has, but again, in relation to under the sun, not the hope of what's to come. And so why is he disgusted with it? Why does he hate it? Why does he not like what results in all this? Well, the first is, you can't keep it forever. So I have a few things on here. You can't keep it forever. Verse 18 says, "I hated all my toil in which I toil under the sun, seeing that I must leave it to the man who will come after me." So in no way am I telling you to not save for your family as I talk about this stuff or try to set them up for success. But here's the thing. But if it becomes your idol, to where you lose time with your family or you sacrifice relationships here, then it's not worth it. If you're saving, if you're setting up for the future, for those in the future, sacrifices your relationships now with them, and I'm talking about monetary things, messing up what you get with them now, it's not worth it. So I challenge you to consider passing down eternal wealth over temporary wealth. If you can do both, great. But give praise to God and make sure it's for his purpose and his good. Again, going back to what is the purpose, make sure it is for God. The second thing, why he doesn't like it, is you can't protect it forever. That's verse 19 and 20. "And who knows whether he will be wise or a fool? Yet he will be master of all which is toiled and used for my wisdom under the sun. This is also vanity. So I turned about and gave my heart up to despair over all the toil of my labors under the sun." Solomon is correct in this. In the end, he really doesn't know who will have control over his wealth when he dies. Today, we have things called wills. But when you die, do you know what happens to that will in the end? That's not a rhetorical question. Do you know what happens to your will in the end after you die? No. You hope it's filled out or fulfilled and followed through with, but you don't know in the end. And so because of this, Solomon was despaired. He gave his heart up and despaired over his toil and his labors under the sun. He realized he was not in control of the end. The next owner could be wise, or the next owner could be a fool and just lose everything that you built up. The third thing that bugged him is, you can't enjoy your wealth if all you do is worry. Because sometimes, verse 21, "Because sometimes a person who has toiled with wisdom and knowledge and skill must leave everything to be enjoyed by someone who did not toil for it. This is also vanity and a great evil." What has man from all the toil and the striving of the heart with which he toils beneath the sun? For all his days are full of sorrow, and his work is vexation. Even in the night his heart does not rest. This is also vanity. He is so concerned, so worried, that even at night his heart does not rest. I'll tell you, last night, I was telling some people, I rested last night after Carnival. I, for the first time in a long time, slept straight through the night, which was awesome. He's not sleeping through the night. He's not resting. It frustrates him even more. I did look up some examples of this. There are lots of people who have built up wealth but didn't get to enjoy it. Howard Hughes was one of the first ones that came up. He built it. He never got to enjoy it fully. He accumulated one of the greatest private fortunes in American history, estimated at $2.5 billion at death, which is roughly $11 to $15 billion today. Yet for decades before he died, he lived as a reclusive, mentally ill, shut-in, isolated in hotel rooms, physically deteriorating, and unable to enjoy his wealth in any meaningful sense. Died without a valid will. 400 to 600 people fought for it, and it went off to who knows how many different things. Built up all of that for it to be spread out to who knows who. Toiled brilliantly, but others received the wealth. A more recent example is Hamish Harding. He was part of that Titan submersible that imploded. He was a billionaire at age 58. And then unfortunately, he did die way before he got to enjoy the rest of his wealth. So despite immense resources, death still rendered wealth inert in that instance. And only God knows how long we will be around. So what do people get for all the toil with which they toil under the sun? Life is not guaranteed. Only God knows when your time is. So again, I'm not saying don't save. I'm not saying don't prepare. But don't sacrifice today for tomorrow. So are you living for God now, or are you trying to control tomorrow? There was a time where I was control, control, control. As many of you know, when one of my kids was having a hard time, I was control, 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 trying to work things out for her, trying to make things happen. And it was ruining my day of today, my time with my family. As I tried to save one person, I was ruining time with the others. And then thankfully, you guys said, all right, you need to take a break. And that was huge. Counseling in that was huge. Counseling's great. Do counseling if you need to. Helped me get through a lot during that time. So thank you to you guys again. I know I've said that before, but that time was priceless for me, for us. I mean, I feel like every sermon now I cry, but because I get older and older, but we were very thankful for that time. I tried to control too much instead of giving it to God. Again, there was nothing wrong with me helping and working through some of that stuff. I became a lawyer for my daughter. I became an accountant for my daughter. I became a person searching for all sorts of stuff for her. But it's not worth it if I lose my focus in God and Christ through it. If I forget my purpose and what he has for me. So don't lose that. Focus on who Christ is. Have what God's purpose is for you. Again, there's nothing wrong with working on some of it, but don't lose focus of who God is and serving him. And so we'll finish with this final section as we Solomon continues to sorrow here, has sorrow. Then he finally switches it around. He says in verse 24, there is nothing better for a person than that he should eat or drink and find enjoyment in his toil. This also I saw is from the hand of God. For apart from him, who can eat or who can have enjoyment? Verse 26, for to the one who pleases him, God has given wisdom and knowledge and joy. But to the sinner, he has given the business of gathering and collecting only to give to the one who pleases God. This also is vanity and a striving after wind. So my third point, the final one, is enjoyment from the hand of God. Enjoyment from the hand of God. Here we finally have that turn of attitude. Solomon has accepted that what he has is of God. So what are the points he's trying to make? First, and this isn't in your notes, find enjoyment in what you have. Understand, so first is find enjoyment in what you have. Second, understand you only have those items because of God. What you have is only because of God. Third, understand that you only have joy in those items because of God. Verse 25 says it. He covers the tangible and the intangible aspect. He says, for apart from him, who can eat or who can have enjoyment? You can't without God. So my question to you here is, and me, do you find enjoyment in what you have in God? Do you give him praise? Do you give him thanks for what you have? He isn't saying, go and live it up, eat, drink, and be merry without worry about the consequences. He is focused on giving thanks to God for what you have and enjoying it. 1 Thessalonians 5:16 through 18 says, rejoice always, pray without ceasing. Did I say that right? Ceasing. That's the one word I always mess up. So I'm allowed to. I have seizures. But pray without, because I want to pray without ceasing too. That's how I should think about it. So pray without ceasing, without stopping. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. I'm sorry if I got you distracted. Let's find joy in what we have. Find joy because, like we talked about before, you have the hope of Christ in your lives. It goes for me. Don't go around complaining about your circumstances all the time. I have to catch myself too. Don't let it consume you. Give praise to God and understand that what you have is because of him. He has assigned that to you. He has given it to you as a steward. What you have is because of him. So enjoy it. Be thankful for it. Verse 26 again says, for to the one who pleases him, God has given wisdom and knowledge and joy. But to the sinner, he has given the business of gathering and collecting, only to give to the one who pleases God. This is also vanity and striving after wind. There's again that phrase, striving after the wind. Some commentators believe Solomon is reflecting on Deuteronomy here. I'm not going to read these verses, they're very long. But Deuteronomy 28, 1 through 15 is a blessing for the obedient. And Deuteronomy 28, 16 through 68 are curses for the disobedient. We also have Proverbs 3, 1 through 12. I'll read through this real quick. Again, gives an example and shows us what following God is like. It says, my son, do not forget my teaching. We've talked about some of this already. But let your heart keep my commandments. For length of days and years of life and peace they will add to you. Let not steadfast love and faithfulness forsake you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on a tablet of your heart, so you will find favor and good success in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make straight your paths. Be not wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. It will be healing to your flesh and refreshment to your bones. I love that phrase. Following God is refreshment to your bones. Honor the Lord with your wealth and with the first fruits of all you produce, all your produce. Then your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will be bursting with wine. My son, do not despise the Lord's discipline or be weary of his reproof. For the Lord reproves him whom he loves. It's like a father. He does it to who he loves. As a father, the son in whom he delights. Solomon is not pushing health and wealth gospel here, but he is saying, obviously, a blessing to follow God's plan and a will for your life. It is always a joy to be in the will of God, to follow his purpose and to follow what he has for you. Be faithful to God and remember that when you slip up, God is righteous and he is forgiving. Go to him when you mess up. Again, to the sinner, the one looking for wisdom under the sun, it's futile, it's vanity, it's striving after the wind. Again, it's like spitting into the wind. And so this leads to the final applications that I have here. Just four questions as we head out. Well, before our last song. Where am I seeking meaning? Under the sun or in God? And this theme will continue on with through Ezekiel, Ecclesiastes. Where am I seeking meaning? Under the sun or in God? Where is my hope? Is it here and now? Am I trying to find those pleasures now? Or is it relying and thinking of and remembering the joy and the hope that I have of eternity with Christ? Am I living for what I must leave behind or for what lasts forever? What's the focus? Is it what is being left behind or what lasts forever? Don't waste your time now and ruin your relationships with people around you because you're trying to save things for now or whatever that is. Think of the eternal aspect, not the temporary one. Third, do I find joy in what God has given me and give him thanks? I know many don't have a lot, but do you find joy in what God has given you? Can you find that joy and give him praise for what you have? And then fourth, application that would apply to this week, what is one change God is calling me to make this week? What is one thing he is calling me to make this week? That could be a mindset, it could be a physical thing, it could be whatever. That's between you and God. What is he calling you to do this week in light of what we studied together today, in light of what we sang about today? What is one thing God is challenging you to do this week? Let's go to Lord in prayer as the band comes up. Lord, we give you thanks for this day. Lord, we praise you for this time to dig into your word. I know these things seem like we're on repeat sometimes with what we're saying, but Lord, you made it that way on purpose. That's your word, Lord. There's a reason for it. There's a reason that the teacher, the preacher here is saying these things over and over again. And so we ask that you continue to work in us, continue to work in our hearts, and teach us what you have for us to learn. Lord, we want to follow your commandments, your teachings. Lord, I pray that we would want to be in your will this week. Lord, I want to strive for that. And I pray that when we make mistakes, it's going to happen. We're not perfect. We are sinners. That we would go to you and remember that you are forgiving. And so we give you praise for that. Lord, we thank you for all these things. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.